Chapter 2. The Earth and the Heaven Earth. In the preceding chapter, we have shown you the solar system as one magnetic sphere, as a system of cooperating interdependent magnetic currents. They interact and correct each other when in one way or another the great plan underlying the entire system is threatened to be disturbed. We would now like to go deeper into the nature of such disturbances, their cause, state, and effects. Firstly, it is necessary to draw your attention to the life wave, namely mankind, which governs the Earth to a large extent. Mankind received the Earth as a dwelling place and received the task to cover the Earth, to govern it, serve it, and make it great. To understand this, one only needs to refer to the account of the creation in legends and myths in various holy writings and in the universal doctrine. Born of the earth, of matter, that is, of the forces of the earth, of the magnetic principles of the earth, mankind was placed in nature to fulfill nature and make it great through its natural possibilities. So there is an interaction as well as an interdependence between mankind and our planet. The child, mankind, received capacities from its mother, the Earth. There is, of course, a love bond between them, and it is clear that the child is a continuation of the idea that underlies the mother. Linked and interdependent, the child is a continuation of the great idea and is therefore equipped with faculties that surpass, in a certain sense, those of the mother. Therefore, the child is able to make or break the mother. Mankind possesses an electromagnetic force derived from Mother Earth. This force interacts with the Earth. Nevertheless, it is a force that can spiritualize the Earth by means of its magnetic nature. That is, it can change the three bodies of the Earth in a liberating sense. That was the divine idea underlying all of this. We are purposely writing in the past tense as the cooperation between the mother and the child has not followed this line of development. Therefore, for aeons of time, a totally different line of development has been marked out. We shall all understand that the divine idea in the long run can neither be violated nor resisted. The divine idea is always being fulfilled with regard to mankind, if not in a harmonious way, then in a disharmonious way. We can learn from the history of the world that mankind has not fulfilled its original vocation in the divine emergency order. It has violated the great idea by deviating from it. It began to go its own way. The consequences of this avenge themselves on the mother. The body of the mother and her magnetic forces came into disharmony with mankind. Consequently, the bodies of the mother increasingly condensed and hardened. The vehicles of mankind crystallize and degenerate to the same extent. Jacob Boehme would call the malignity and disturbance rising up like clouds out of this interaction, an intense bitterness and wrath. The wrath of God was kindled over mankind and its mother, that is, mankind kindled this dark red fire and its mother reacted because she could not do otherwise. The Earth's magnetic radiations, its magnetic activities, closely follow the behavior of mankind. Of natural necessity, this malignity and its consequences also asserted themselves on the entire solar system. The fiery torch of disharmony was kindled in the entire solar system. During spans of time and periods of mankind, intercosmic magnetic conflicts developed, which manifested their consequences reciprocally on all planets, and kindled the wrath on each planet and in its mankind. It may be clear to you that the scientists and leaders of the primary life wave controlling each planet at a given moment ceased to see the expressions of the wrath and its consequences as being a consequence of mankind's own sins, although the Church speaks of sin, but as mere natural phenomena, as cosmic and intercosmic phenomena, as magnetic storms and deviations manifesting their consequences in one way or another. At the moment when the wrath hit the entire solar system, the mankind of each planet was on a certain level of development. Some mankinds had climbed much further on the ladder of development than ours. other groups were still below ours as seen from a certain point of view. It is immaterial where, on which planet, and by which mankind the wrath was kindled. In any event, all inhabitants of the solar system had to take it into consideration and follow either the line of development originating absolutely from the divine idea, or the line of reaction to the wrath, by resistance, by violence, by natural passion, either the intelligent line of development or the instinctive, natural line of development. The line of development a mankind would follow depended entirely on the level of its development at the moment the wrath hit it. Our mankind followed the instinctive, natural line. Well, because of this fundamental rift in the entire solar system, two solar systems were created at the very moment the wrath occurred. The old solar system was shut off, as it were, so that there would be room for all the myriads of entities which were absorbed by the wrath. The new solar system was born out of an emergency, as God does not forsake the works of his hands. So there are two universes, the Gnostic and the dialectical one, and there are two developments, an original one and a temporary one, in the world of wrath, so that all may have the opportunity to break away from these courses and achieve a link with the original one. When there are two developments and two solar systems due to the manifestation of an unholiness, we can imagine that there would at once be three solar systems if the wrath were also to be kindled in the second one. The divine idea perseveres and cannot be resisted. Accordingly, we can imagine that there has to be an interaction between the two presently active solar systems within the plan underlying our mankind. That is why it is said, God continually takes hold of the world of wrath, and that in every period of time, magnetic possibilities are offered to turn back to the original course of development. That is why it is said that God is light, and a brotherhood of light is a universal chain. We have now explained to you why there are two magnetic systems in our intercosmic omni-revelation, a magnetic system of death in which we all participate, and a magnetic system in which no human being participates unless he goes the path of the rose and the cross. Let us now return to our point of departure. There are two solar systems, both quite different from one another, and yet to be explained one from the other. They have been born of historical intercosmic developments. There are also two planetary states, both of which we call the Earth, an Earth known by us as the planet we live on, and a heavenly Earth, a mystery planet, the heaven Earth which it was given to John to behold, which he, like the Pistis Sophia, at a given moment saw. Let us now consider in what way the development of the Earth pursues its course according to natural law, and in what equally lawful manner the heaven Earth must affect the Earth. As the Earth is, so also is the entire solar system to which it belongs. The entire solar system exists in the nature of death, the space in which the wrath is kindled and operates. As we have already said, all planets, with their inhabitants, have different stages of development, different personality shapes, larger or smaller than ours, more beautiful or more ugly in appearance, that depending on taste. In this connection, we have to tell you that the mythological shapes described to us in the various doctrines about the gods contain a great deal of truth. All these very different entities, however divergent in shape, belong as regards their origin to one and the same idea. Their cultural stages are very different. One could say that their cultural peaks were, so to say, frozen when the wrath hit the solar system. Since then, not one mankind could exceed the cultural peak attained unless such a mankind had, in the meantime, proceeded to its mystery planet by returning to its origin. At present, there is at least one planet in our solar system which is almost depopulated and no longer shows any sign of life because all its inhabitants continue their development by transfiguration on the mystery planet that is linked with their own. However, the planet of the wrath world still exists in our solar system so as not to disturb the natural order of the latter. We shall understand that in the solar system of wrath, fear, self-protection, and struggle for life are the actual bases of existence. There are mankinds in our solar system which, when the wrath hit them, fully knew and controlled atomic science and the properties of the atoms. At that time, our mankind also knew something of this marvelous science concerning one of the foundations of our planetary existence, yet not enough to be able to control it. So when our mankind rises from time to time to the original frozen peak of its culture, it always becomes a mortal danger to the entire solar system. Many mankinds in the solar system are perfectly aware of this, and consequently, our Earth is kept under constant supervision, especially when we once again reach our cultural peak. The other mankinds, which are higher than our cultural peak, do not use atomic science as applied knowledge. That is strictly forbidden. Neither do they use it for so-called peaceful purposes, because they know that this would mean absolute suicide, the destruction of the planetary foundations. Neither do they use explosives. They use the science of magnetic lines of force and their hidden energies. By this means, they can move throughout the entire solar system, provided gravitation is overcome. We shall try to describe the way in which they do so in the next chapter. In all these explanations, you should keep in mind the absolute certainty that all manifestations and activities of the inhabitants of intercosmic space proceed from and are to be explained by the nature of death and its necessary self-protection.